And that is something that we need to keep an eye on. I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist here, I'm trying to be a realist. Adam, we will see you in the next hour. We'll be talking Tesla and more. Can't wait to see you, my friend. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Courtney Turner about the United Nations and the AIWS cities. You've heard of 15-minute cities? Maybe you haven't heard of the 100-year centennial agenda yet. We're going to go over that and much more back with more TNT Radio after this.
Today's News Talk Radio.
Come on, let the man talk.
We never censor our hosts.
Good. Now, talk.
Uncensored news.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we are now joined by Courtney Turner. She is an activist, an analyst, and podcast host. We've been lucky enough to spend some time together all across the country over at the Reawaken America Tour. And one of the things we've discussed both in public and in private is not only globalism and the United Nations, but this UN Centennial AIWS initiative. So a lot of people, they know about Davos, they know about the Great Reset, they've now felt the corruption of the World Health Organization and the United Nations in general. They're even familiar with 15-minute cities. Courtney, what is this?
Oh, so this is the centennial of the UN. So the UN started in 1945. So they're imagining the world in 2045. And they've created something called an AI world society. And this looks very much like a cyber Satan to me. Personally, it is very dystopian. If the singularity is not here, it is near in their minds. So what they're doing is they're partnering up with the Boston Global Forum and someone named Michael Dukakis. Some of you may remember he was the former governor of Massachusetts. He's written a book. It's called Remaking the World, the Age of Global Enlightenment. If that's not a nod to the New Age Theosophical movement, I don't know what it is, but this is the UN that's partnering with them. And of course, we know the UN is a, you know, their spiritual consultancy is Lucius Struss. So this makes sense. But what they're doing is they're creating this AI world society where they are going to put humans, as they call us, objects in this AI world society. They talk about how Ukraine is going to be the hub of this AI world society. They've had a symposium on how they have to rebuild Ukraine because it's been decimated by the war. We need to send them lots of support, lots of money, you know, so that it can, we can rebuild. Kind of sounds like Build Back Better. Sounds familiar to me. So they're saying we need to do this so that we can build it. So it'll be the centralized hub for this AI world society where there will be all these offshoots all around the world with these, you know, 15-minute cities, smart cities, C40 cities, and those will all be connected in a grid. And they will no longer have human governments. We will have AI governments. So human governments are going to be a thing of the past. We are going to have digital twins. They're talking about doing an AI bill of rights, but they're not really so much talking about, you know, restricting or regulating the programming of AI. They're talking about regulating our usage, the human usage of AI. Yeah, so they're talking about how they can make us property and literally put us siloed in the metaverse. And they've actually done beta tests on this. There was a island called Tuvalu where they convinced them that because of the climate religion, you know, that the climate crisis, you know, we're all going to die in 2 years, the planet's going to end. They've convinced them that they're island was going to sink. It was going to be underwater. I think this is very ironic because you have all of these elites who tell us that, you know, all the oceanfront property is going to go underwater because of the climate crisis, but that's where they keep buying their land. Somehow that makes sense. But they convinced these people and they evacuated the entire island. They exported them to Australia. And then they told them they can never see their loved ones again. They can never see their homes again, but they can. They're so lucky because they can in this virtual reality. So I think that's kind of the beta test.
Well, first of all, I think it's about perception versus reality. Let's look at Neom's The Line, right? Now, Neil, the line, this was one of those globalist projects. It was going to be this glass city. It's going to be 106 miles long. If you went to their website, it was this Asian woman in this virtual universe floating around, being guaranteed that everything was the best thing since breakfast. Again, everything was 15 minutes away. They even threw in there that there'd be equitable views for everybody, whatever the truck that means. I mean, folks, talk about Bernaysian language. It was over the top. Failure. Total technology doesn't exist. Reality, boom, set in. And that project got knocked down at a mile and a half, and it wasn't even fully constructed. Obviously, that's the feel-good story of the year to me right now, that that mode of globalism, that that you know, iconic piece of architecture they were trying to build, 110% failure. Now, you're talking about AI, and there was some real fake news. It's still spreading around like wildfire on the internet. This always concerns me when I see it. Oh, Klaus Schwab's sick and he's dying. No, he's not, guys. He's fine. He's kicking for an 80-plus-year-old man. Trust me, he's doing okay. But right now, that's out there. The reason I bring up Klaus House is he is openly talked about in the World Economic Forum and others. AI, artificial intelligence run government. They will pick our leaders. And then on top of that, one of the things that he's let slip out that may, you know, a lot of people talk about the bugs and you will own nothing. I've literally got this guy on camera talking about not everybody can be a robot polisher. I mean, that's what these people think about you. You'll be lucky if you get to polish their robots. And obviously, a large part of this AIWS, this world society based in artificial intelligence, has to be based in automation and robotics, which we've been seeing now being pushed forward at a pace never before in humankind, Courtney.
Yes, this is very true. And I do I think a lot of it is perception. I mean, they need people to polish their robots, right? So I don't think that they're really going to achieve this truly post-human society, but they are talking about it. So there's obviously the transhumanists, you know, these are the people who want to merge us with machines and make us into cyborg. There's of course already the cybernetics that's occurring just with the constant interface of, you know, screen time and the algorithms and all of that. Our brain chemistry has already been shifted and our behavior obviously has been shifted and they're programming us through that. But there is a whole camp of people who are talking about a post-human world. And there are several manuals on this. And I actually thought there was just one. I was like, oh, this is like super fringe. I'm not saying it's mainstream, but there's several. There's several. And they're like a large, you know, proportionally, I'll just say larger than I'd like to see, group of people that really believe that we're going to have a post-human world. I don't know who they think is going to polish their robots if they have a post-human world, but somehow that we're all going to, I mean, we're going to have digital twins and then we're going to have, they have AI citizens in this AI world society. So I guess somehow it's all going to work, even though we don't know that we're alive and not alive. But it doesn't matter because that's what they'll convince us. So I don't know. It's very confusing, but I do think a lot of it is perception, but it is also pretty scary because because what they're talking about is regulating everything through, you know, digitization. So they talk about something like, you know, in China, you have like the, you know, social credit system. And, you know, we're very familiar with that. Of course, they have everything on the WeChat app, which of course Elon says he wants to make a Twitter like, but better. But what they talk about is something called the social value reward system. So it sounds very meritocratic, but it's the same thing. And they are moving things towards this communitarian kind of system. They're doing it through corporations. And that's what's scary is that, you know, it always is an opt-in system, but hopefully people are not going to take the bait.
Courtney, there's no opting in to a system that decides your behavior like you're a child and not whether you're actually doing right, wrong, or condemning lies and embracing truth, but whether you adhere to their authoritarian ideologies and narratives. That's the truth of the matter. We got to take a quick break for the headlines. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the singularity, AI, and yes, even a post-human future. It's my show. I'm Jason Burmes, back with more TNT Radio Live after this.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
And we were talking about the singularity. I think it's important to talk about the person that came up with that terminology and what it actually means. So Ray Kurzweil was really the godfather of modern day transhumanism in 1999, writes The Age of Spiritual Machines. And in that, he posits that there will be a point where technology swoops up at an angle. In other words, we're going like this for a while and then boom, to the point that everything changes, you know, basically infinite knowledge all the time, you name it. And at this point, we change. And essentially, we have created entities, and he's changed this over the years. But at first, he talked about entities that would be not conscious necessarily, but smart enough to make us think that they are, in fact, conscious. He said they were two very, very different things. But then he would talk about how essentially this is non-carbon life and that eventually we would be in a fully non-carbon future. Well, carbon's one of those things you need for biological life on this planet. Not just us, but everything. And that is extremely concerning because now he has posited that in fact these beings will be conscious or it doesn't matter if they're not. This is the future, and this sounds like the ravings of an insane person. This is the guy who's worked for Google for years as kind of their guru positing these theories. And Google also very much on top of artificial intelligence, etc., and quantum computing is doing work in what? Immortality, literally de-aging biologically. So I see a rift in the classes. I think you have one class that does think they can biologically live forever while they sell everybody on how they're bad because of their carbon footprint and because everything life force based is based in carbon. You have the ultimate authoritarian rule on every aspect of their life. And then they push them into this digital world, this new metaverse, if you will, that they're trying to create along with the AI digital twins that are not just factories, folks, because NVIDIA is already doing digital twin factories, but digital twin human beings, or what some of these people are calling, I wouldn't say it's not clones, but it's essentially, it's our consciousness. That's not real. We can't, that like you said, there are certain realities. We can't upload our consciousness, everybody. They don't even know what your consciousness is. Right. So, Courtney, what is your take?
So I did want to address, you were saying that you can't, you know, it's not an opt-in when they're treating you like a child and, you know, giving you demerits. So the one thing I would say, though, is they are giving, you know, they're trying to convince us things through convenience. Like, you know, the digital currency will be so much easier. We should just switch over. We should take the UBI because then everybody will, you know, they don't have to work and you can just, you know, scroll and you'll make money that way. So I'm just saying when they start offering these types of things that sound enticing, I mean, not to maybe you and I, but they may to some people really know what you're taking and what you're entering into. You're allowing them to build this infrastructure because none of this can work without, you know, I think without the CBDCs, it can't work. None of it can work without, you know, this whole climate religion, really, because that's what it is. They're trying to convince us that the planet somehow can implode. They've been telling us every 2 years that it's going to somehow end. but maybe they're taking the same 150 supplements that Kurzweil takes, and he thinks he's going to live to be 150, right?
And let's talk about that for a second, because so it's not just Kurzweil, right? And believe me, I take a lot of supplements, but I see a lot of these old scientists, you know, whether it be Kurzweil, who not only talks about taking handfuls of supplements daily, but also on IV treatments, okay?
Yep.
But Dennis Bushnell, the former chief scientist of NASA, notorious for the same thing. Yet they demonize Alex Jones for selling Brain Force Ultra. You know, you're not allowed to have nitrous oxide and NAD+. And you now have the FDA actually regulating peptides that have been on the market for many, many years. So once again, you have this system that is demonizing it on one end, yet their leaders, right, or their thought leaders, I hate that term, yes, but their thought are using them and actually telling people to use them at they work and that they work, but not the mainstream media, not the mainstream politicians. Instead, we see the reverse, that they try to take them away from us, Courtney.
Yeah, well, you know, it's for great for me, but not for thee, you know, so it's, not hypocritical at all. I wanted to talk a little bit about, so they've got like an AI World Society city, and they, you know, so remaking the world towards an age of global enlightenment. They've got the Global Enlightenment Mountain, and it looks like a seraphim. The picture is on their site. They have a house of honor. They have peace and security. They have a history of AI house. There's a history of AI house. There's a Global Enlightenment Club. This is all virtual, by the way. There's the AI World Society City Hall, the council, the concert hall. There's the university. So, yeah, they're building us a beautiful world in this virtual reality.
And, you know, when you talk about these virtual realities and being able to opt in, another aspect that I think that we have to talk about with Kurzweil is he ultimately says that we will have nanobots in our bodies. Like, we're talking about billions of nanobots. And eventually we will get to the point that these nanobots turn off our natural systems and enter us into this virtual reality, which will be indistinguishable. If that is the case, that is not an opt-in system. In order to get billions of nanobots into human beings, you would either have to release it in the food supply, water supply, or aerosolize it, because we all know everybody isn't lining up to take hate and lie shots by the dozen anymore, or even the first time around, Courtney. So when you see these things, again, perception versus reality, what do you think the reality of this movement will be in the next 5 years? Because obviously we have seen a consolidation of power. We are seeing these cities take place. The metaverse might be losing money, but Meta is just gaining on the stock market and has partnered with the World Health Organization and the United Nations.
There's Chan Zuckerberg, which is putting like hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars into like pandemic research and like, you know, biotechnology research. It's scary, scary stuff. Yeah. And when you talk about this, but the nano Internet of Things, that's essentially what it is. They talk about that in the AI World Society and how everything's going to be done through sensors that are going to be inside our body. And they talk about 6G being part of this. And you may remember there was that article by UMass Amherst that talked about how 6G was actually harnessing humans for energy. And they talk about this in their book, in their white paper. So, yeah, I don't know. There's definitely the when you ask about the perception versus the reality, I do think they're not quite as advanced as they'd like us to believe. I do think they want us to be really scared, because if we're scared and the fear porn works, then we're much more susceptible and malleable to whatever kinds of manipulations and programming and control mechanisms, and also whatever kinds of opt-in things they may want to offer us. So I think that is a huge piece of it. But as you said, you know, what they can do with aerosolization. I mean, there's the smart dust. We're talking about
smart dust, Courtney, has been around and talked about since the War of Terror. I would direct people to go read Annie Jacobson's book, First Platoon, where it plays a key role. Again, this is old technology. It is micronized. It is completely invisible to the human eye. Courtney Turner, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody needs to check out her podcast and everywhere she's at. We got to take a quick break. We got another great guest on the other side. I love it when people are taking action. I love it more when they're as young as this guy coming up. Back with more of my show. It's TNT Radio Live.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.